is my pleasure to present...
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Lube text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
Harry Giles was seen, that's a name we haven't said in a long time.
Harold.
Was seen working out with some former Kings teammates in Los Angeles. Harry Giles is a free agent. Harry Giles went to Portland. Harry Giles really didn't do anything. If you take away emotion, Harry Giles is probably an NBA journeyman, and that's what his career will be, and he'll be a 9th, 10th, 11th man on the bench and play.
Which is unfortunate.
That's again, no emotion. Gotta be honest, though. If I'm Monty McNair and friends, I kick the tires. If you could bring, listen, I'm just saying this. If you could bring in Harry Giles, and I know at least one or two of them listen on occasion, so let me just personally appeal here to our front office. And I'm not saying sign Harry Giles or you're dumb. It's not. I totally get it. But in your short time in Sacramento, you've probably seen that this city gets attached to players that love the city. And it's been tough. It's been a tough 15 years.
A little bit.
We had a damn relocation in the middle of the whole thing, not to mention not making the playoffs. And I'm not saying Harry Giles can't be awesome someday. The book is certainly not closed on him. But I get the reality of what I just said. He's probably a near end of the bench guy, just again taking love and emotion out of it. It would make this fan base so happy. Again, I'm assuming, under the assumption it's a minimum deal, under the assumption that he'd be willing to come back. If you got a chance and you're on the fence, not to mention he's obviously a buy low guy who still has potential. I'm not doing the Twitter thing where I'm pretending that Harry Giles is the end-all be-all. But even just him being here, even if he's just an end-of-rotation 10th, 12th man guy, look at how this city has reacted. Look at how they reacted to Marvin Bagley, who, by the way, again, on paper, has done far more sure. On the floor. But when you not only don't embrace the city, when you push it away a little bit, it's the opposite reaction. All I'm saying is, if you're even thinking about it, just trust me when I say it would make next season a little more fun.
I mean, you have to put it, now we have to really look at it from their standpoint. Are they gonna bring back a Harry Giles over, you know, Damian Jones, mm-hmm. or are they going to over Chimezie Metu, who they have invested time in developing,
right,
you know, at that end of the bench as backups? I just don't foresee that happening just to get a nice fan reaction. It sounds good. I just don't see it happening.
Oh, I know. That's just not,
now,
that's not how things
That work. Doesn't mean he might not get an invite to Summer League.
Right.
Or be on the California Classic team. Now, that I could see as a possibility.
Here's the reason why.
Hey, by the way,
yeah.
Especially if you want to sell some tickets to the California Classic.
I was going
to
say, I get what you're saying and I get the logic. Here's the problem. If they do that and then he's not on the team next year, they're just kicking up old wounds.
No, I don't think they do. If they do that and he performs well and sure. he's not on the team next year, sure. if he just goes into summer league and is just whatever, I don't think anyone will care. Also, real quick, back to Team USA. Brian Windhorst put this out. This is ominous. Mm-hmm. With Jeremy Grant in quarantine and Devin Booker, Drew Holiday, and Chris Middleton in the finals, Team USA currently has 6 players.
Well, I did just during the break, I heard this. Again, this is just people I have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being told that it is highly likely that at least 2 of Keldon Johnson, Christian Wood, and Duncan Robinson will be called up to Team USA.
Well, there you go.
So that's, again, from a source.
I mean, Keldon Johnson is Popovich's own guy, yeah. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Keldon Johnson, Christian Wood. Who was the third guy?
Duncan Robinson.
Duncan Robinson.
Duncan Robinson is another guy. I mean, he doesn't do what Halliburton does, but he's not a ball dominant guy. He's going to spread the floor. Mm-hmm. He's just going to shoot threes, which that's not a bad thing to have on the roster.
It's been a big day for NBA rumors. So let's just recap. we're hearing that it's highly likely again that at least two of three of Keldon Johnson, Tristan Wood, and Duncan Robinson will be called up to Team USA number one. Number two, we're hearing Henry Abbott, a True Hoop, is reporting that in the coming days, Dame Lillard will officially ask for a trade from Portland. And then I was talking to you this morning. I had heard the scuttlebutt last night that Bradley Beal's next team is likely, whether it's sooner or later, very, very, very likely to be either Miami or Golden State.
Fingers crossed for Miami. Also, you forgot one that you've actually confirmed. The Kings have...
The Kings are getting new televisions in some of their offices, yes.
Thank you. Like, let's not bury the lead, guys.
That's a big story. We should interview the technician.
Hey, how come you didn't get Monty on to talk about this?
I don't even know where Monty is right now.
Biggest moves in franchise history, the TVs, and we have nothing on the home of the Kings. Unreal.
Do you have a statement on the television?
Jeez.
Are they, what's the brand? How big are they? Did you ever think of going projector? Versus,
right.
You have Dolby Atmos. You know,
are they curved? Are they, how is the 4K experience now?
Hey, listen, dude. If you're a franchise like the Kings or any NBA team, I'm not paying for anything. What I'm doing is I'm getting an official TV sponsor. and so what you do is like I don't know where the TVs are going, but let's say they're redoing all and they're in the draft room or something, right? So you know how the NBA shows shots of the draft room for every team before their pick, right?
Yes.
So basically, I would call up, I don't know, Panasonic, whatever,
Samsung,
Sharp, and I would say, hey, listen, we'll put your logos all over our draft room, but we need you to outfit us with we're going to open your catalog and
right.
We're going to pick what we want, and you're just going to put the logos in.
Because we're owned by a billionaire, so we got to find a way to make some trade here, some barter. Jeez.
Tyrese Halliburton, by the way, Eagles tickets in about 12 minutes. Do not call in early. I'll let you know when to call for Eagles trivia. You're not going to do it?
Me?
Yeah.
No, because you... pooped all over
well,
it.
I'm just saying. It's
your
not
seagull
what an eagle
pooped
says.
All over it.
It's not what an eagle. An eagle
just depends on the eagle.
Oh my God.
Learn, dude, watch Discovery Channel or something.
I mean, we have a budget. I feel like we could get an eagle call.
I'll find one. I'll pay for it too.
Okay.
Just as I would pay for Tyrese Halliburton to stay here forever.
Thank you.
He says nice things about the Kings.
So, we were talking about Team USA. Just to wrap that up, this is Tyrese Halliburton on the Zach Lowe podcast, the low post with Zach Lowe. This was Tyrese Halliburton on his Team USA experience.
It was a great experience for me. Obviously, I had success with the under-19 USA team, and, you know, to kind of get that invite to, you know, play for the select team was cool. It makes me feel like I'm on the right path. I haven't played... competitive basketball like that since I got hurt against Dallas. So it was, different for me to kind of be out there with those guys and kind of get back into the feel of things and get back into a rhythm, I guess you could say. But it was nice to be out there with those guys. I think the craziest part of it is, that these guys like know who I am now. You know, they're coming up to me asking me how I'm doing, they know who I am, you know what I'm saying? Like that, I think that's the coolest part, but no, it was a great experience for me. And then I didn't get the opportunity to watch the game last night against Nigeria because I was traveling. I was coming home. But Chimezi Metu, with me on the Kings, he's on Nigeria. So people were texting in the group chat. People were saying that, and I didn't believe it till I saw it. But that's pretty cool. But obviously USA working some kinks out. FIBA basketball is not the same as USA basketball. You know what I'm saying? Like it's more packed in. No 3 seconds, none of that. I think that definitely changes stuff. So I think it's just an adjustment that will be made.
Total aside. The gravel's still there, but is it just me or is Tyrese Halliburton's voice different?
Yeah, it's called puberty.
He's way past that.
How do you know?
Just saying. Doesn't it sound like his voice kind of is? I don't know if it's higher or lower. I don't know how different, but it just sounds different.
It was definitely lower on this one, in my opinion.
You think so?
I gotta compare audio.
We should get something from the show last year when he was on,
mm-hmm.
and then play these clips back to back. Anyways, that's not the point. The point is, He's having fun with Team USA, learning the international game, and picking up a lot of valuable experience. But we are in Sacramento. But we know what you think about, you know, you want to hear about Tyrese and the Kings and next year and all that. And Zach asked him.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm really excited. You know, I think I have another year to, you know, personally grow and, you know, kind of grow as a unit. But, you know, I think me and Fox have, you know, keep becoming a lot closer. That's going to help us a lot. But just along with everybody kind of in the organization, I feel like I'm starting to learn, you know, really well. And, you know, we had some bad lulls this year, right? Like win 8 in a row, like, man, the Sacramento Kings like look like the hottest team in basketball, and then you lose 9 in a row, and it's just crazy how that can happen overnight. But no, I'm looking forward to it. I think we have a great opportunity. Obviously got the number 9 pick, so I'm curious to see, you know, who we bring in, but, you know, also hopefully you know, make some moves in the offseason, you know, that benefit us and, you know, put us in a great position to, you know, compete for a playoff spot next year.
Did something stick out to you there that he said?
I'll tell you what did, and I know it's not what stuck out to you, but it just reminded me that the Kings had won 8 in a row and then lost 9 in a row.
I thought they won 7 of 8.
It
matters,
right,
but...
Actually, I think you're right. And then they had 2 separate 9-game losing streaks.
Well, they won, I think, 7 of 8 twice and then would go on a 9-game losing streak. So
both
weird.
Times. Like, I kind of forgot about that for a second. And now that we've had some time and that he just brought it up, and got, they won 7 of 8 twice and immediately lost 9 in a row after that twice.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be some kind of a record.
I'm pretty sure it was.
What stuck out to you?
Just the idea that him and Fox are working together in the summer and just hearing that, while I don't want to say I assumed it, you know, it was more of a like, you know, this is our backcourt of the future. But to know that they're really, and he gets into this a little bit more in the next clip, that they just seem to be on the same page. And how often have we been able to say that when you have two guys that the Kings over the last 15 years have put in front of us, like, hey, these are our guys moving forward. DeMarcus and Tyreek were never on the same page.
No.
You know, and so just hearing that to me was like, oh, thank God, we actually going to have some chemistry here.
You know, we ran that poll yesterday, and I'm going to give you the results right now. The question was, and knowing that no one wants to answer this because we love them both, but if you did acquire Ben Simmons, the Kings did, and either Fox or Halliburton had to be plugged into that deal, which duo would you feel more confident with as a Kings fan rolling forward in the future, Fox and Simmons or Halliburton and Simmons? Big poll here, a lot of votes, no surprise. 64% chose De'Aaron Fox and Ben Simmons, but about 100% of the respondents said, please don't break my brain. We love Tyrese Halliburton so much.
And definitely in these clips, you can hear why everybody loves Tyrese Halliburton.
And it's been reported, so I'm certainly not in any way taking credit for it all. I just want to reiterate, and I don't like the thing where it's like, I'm confirming the report. No, I always think that's insulting to the media member. But in my private conversations I've been having recently, it's pretty unanimous from people that know things. The Fox and Halliburton aren't going anywhere.
No, I would think at this point it's going to take a... Hey, we'll swap Fox for Dame Lillard straight up. Something in that realm, which is not happening.
I'm talking specifically in the Ben Simmons deal.
Sure.
Yes, of course, both Fox and Halliburton are tradable because everybody's tradable unless you're, you know, Giannis, maybe like two others. But we've had this conversation before. But as far as the Ben Simmons thing, Kings fans don't need to worry about Fox or Halliburton going anywhere. So that's the Kings. And you heard him mention De'Aaron Fox, and he sticks up a little bit for his point guard.
I mean, yeah, just that communication, like Brian said, you know, just like how the backcourts are dominating games, right? Like how, you know, D-Book and CP have had some like crazy efficient games, right? Where they're combining for like maybe like 4 turnovers, 4 or 5 turnovers, you know what I'm saying? Really taking control of the game. They run a lot of stack action. Like Phoenix lives in that stack action with CP, Book, and Ayton. They'll run that to death, you know what I'm saying? So, just looking at that stuff, I think, you know, is cool for us to see it as a young backcourt and as a young team to see the success Atlanta had. I think, you know, that gives us that's cool to see because it makes us be like, man, why not us? You know what I'm saying? And you know, me personally, I think Fox gets disrespected in this league by people. I think he had an amazing year this year that people don't really understand how good De'Aaron is, but you know, that's kind of comes with not making the playoffs, right? Like you're not gonna, especially in Sacramento. Yeah, you're not going to get that love until you get to the playoffs. So, yeah, that's just the goal because, you know, I would love for people to see, you know, what he can do on a big stage, what we can do on a big stage in competitive basketball games. So, you know, that's definitely the goal.
Do you think De'Aaron Fox gets disrespected?
I mean, obviously there was the big disrespectful comment from Amin, is it El-Hassan?
Yeah.
From ESPN. But overall, I don't think De'Aaron gets disrespected. I think, you know, if you go listen to whether it's a podcast or you read an article that, you know, NBA pundits are putting out, most guys like De'Aaron Fox. Most guys think he is that guy. And, you know, if the Kings ever surround him with the correct pieces, that he could take that leap into all-star level. I don't think he gets disrespected, personally.
I think almost everyone is very high on De'Aaron Fox. And for good reasons. A little over 7 assists last year. De'Aaron Fox, the 15th highest scorer in the league, and he's not surrounded by a lot, which says something.
He wasn't surrounded by nothing.
He was just a tenth of a point behind Trae Young, four-tenths behind Devin Booker. But what's interesting to me, De'Aaron Fox shot 72% from the line last year, and that's pretty much the norm.
And I also feel like that 72%, it was lower in the first half of the season. He improved as things went on. But if he can ever get to 85 from the line, God.
That's the scary thing.
85 and shoot around 37, 38 from three. That opens up so many doors for him.
I told you he was the 15th highest scorer in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
When you just look at the free throw percentages of the guys above him, 88.6, 86.7, 86.8, 84.5, 86.8, 92.2, that's Kyrie Irving, 69.8, that's Zion Williamson, 84, 73% for Luka Doncic. You know what? I got to be honest. That surprised me. That really, really surprised me for a couple reasons. First off, Luka's a good shooter. Secondly, Luka was born and bred in the Euro game, and you rarely see players come from over there that are sub 80% mm-hmm. shooters, even the big men. It's very fundamental based. I had no idea Luka shot that low from the line. That really shocked me. Giannis is at 68.5%, but then after that, 85, 92, 88, 91. Yeah. Imagine if De'Aaron, I'm not asking for 90.
Yeah, again, but notice the guys missing free throws outside of Luka are bigs.
Are bigs. I'm not asking for 90% from De'Aaron, but if he could just shoot 80%, you're talking about a guy who's going to go, I'm not going to do the math in my head, but I got to imagine that's probably about 2 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair, 2 points sure. a game based on what he how much he goes to the line. So you're looking at a guy all of a sudden that's now averaging 27 points a game in your top 10. And De'Aaron Fox, by the way, it's the trajectory that's also so impressive with him that really we get lost in a bit that's so dang scary. When you look at his points scored per year, 11.6 his rookie year. By the way, I feel like he averaged more than that his rookie year.
His rookie year was not good.
It was really strange. up to 17.3, then 21.1 last year, and 25.2 this year. I mean, the trajectory, he's gaining 5, 4, and 4 points per. Just to, you know, listen, is he going to average 29 points a game next year?
Maybe.
I doubt it. But I don't think it's unheard of for him to average 27 or 28.
No. And again, if they can surround him with some better pieces. Because I think a lot of times last year, too, you could tell in those games where, you know, De'Aaron could be a little roller coastery in that where he would go on those benches of games where he was just tearing it up.
Right.
And then he would struggle. I think he just, A, got tired at times. And B, I really think he felt like he pressed a lot last year on the offensive side of the ball sometimes. When a game wasn't going his way, I still think he felt like I have to be the one to score. I have to put this team on my back and to his detriment. But like we said, it's also a product of the roster
right.
as to why he felt that way.
Get the Eagles music ready. 1-800-920-1140-339-1140. It's trivia time. The Eagles Golden One Center. These tickets are expensive and hard to come by. I believe they go on sale today. So we've been doing a win before you buy. We'll put you in order. I've cleared the phone lines as quick as you call. We'll put you on, and you'll have a very, very simple chance, much like yesterday. We'll give you a multiple-choice question. You have an opportunity to win Eagles tickets. While we wait for that real quick, Chris Paul hunting Tyrese Halliburton's?
Nah, he ain't got me with nothing. He I got a funny story about CP. Is like, so like the first game of the year, right? Like I've been a point guard my whole life. So like CP's like, I'm a big fan, right? Just a big fan growing up. And I used to stay up late to watch the Clippers play and all that, right? So first time we play them, right? CP comes out, shoots a mid-range jumper, right? And somebody on our bench says something as he shoots the jumper. I don't remember who it was. Somebody was like, hell nah, right? I'm standing up, right? I'm standing up just watching it on the bench. He looks at me dead in my eyes, and he thought it was me. And so, from the jump, he was on me, like, just saying everything to me. And I'm not about to be like, oh, I'm so sorry, it wasn't me. You know, I'm a competitor too. So but I was like, oh, my God, this guy. It was like, you know, second, third game of the NBA. This guy, Chris Paul, is, like, going at me. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's looking for me. And it was, it was definitely a great way to kind of start my NBA career.
I had this thought during the last NBA Finals game. You know the Suns had the opportunity to draft Tyrese Haliburton.
They did.
Can you imagine?
I'd rather not.
I'd rather not too. Thank you to all of those teams. Thank you for giving us something. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Can you give us more? We need more.
Eagles time. 1-800-920-1140-339-1140. Let's start in order. Unscreened phone call. Who is this?
Hey, it's Ray.
Ray, where are you calling from, Ray?
Oh, I live in Sacramento.
Live in Sacramento. You an Eagles fan?
Yeah. I saw him a long, long time ago. I saw him way back at Freeborn Hall.
Wow. Okay.
Davis.
Oh my. Okay. I'm rooting for Ray. I'm rooting. We have a legit Eagles fan on the line. Golden One Center. Tickets go on sale. I believe that. I gotta get that info in front of me so I can give them the proper love. All right, Ray, all week we've been doing animal trivia. I'm going to do the same thing with you. It's a multiple choice, so I'll give you an opportunity. Just for those who didn't listen yesterday, you know, you got a herd of wolves or a pack of wolves or whatever the heck it is. You got a pride of lions, stuff like that. So we're going to throw an animal out, and I'm going to ask you what the proper name is for a group of that animal. And, Ray, I'm going to give you a multiple choice, all right? So are you ready?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I'll give it a try.
You got a 1 in 3 shot. A group of lemurs. A group of lemurs is called a labor, a conspiracy, or a pandemonium.
A group of lemurs. Those are monkeys, right? What was the first choices?
A group of lemurs is called a labor, a conspiracy, or a pandemonium.
I go pandemonium.
Pandemonium is wrong. Oh, I'm sorry. I really was rooting for Ray. Hi, caller. Who's this?
It's Don.
Don, where are you calling from?
Oak Grove.
Okay, Don, I don't have a lot of time to do the interview stuff. I'm sorry, but we'll assume you're a good person and you're an Eagles fan. You listened, I'm sure, on hold. Groups of animals, the real names. Let's go with parrots, okay? A group of parrots is called a flight, a pandemonium, or a troop.
I'm going to go with a pandemonium.
A pandemonium of parrots. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Crazy.
But it's absolutely correct. Yeah. Pandemonium of parrots is taking you to go see the Eagles. Golden One Center. Go to Ticketmaster.com or the Golden One Center website and grab yourself some tickets. But you're not going to have to, sir, because you are. Who are you taking?
I don't know yet.
You don't know yet? We can always do a contest and, you know, just let us know if you get desperate and we'll pick somebody for you. In the meantime, hold the line. The lovely and talented Jay Mars will get all your information.
Yay.
And we will take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
So are we done now with Eagles giveaways
yes.
this week? Okay. All right. Because I got so many more here. It's really incredible what some of these group names are. A pandemonium.
You've been on this all week.
Isn't it amazing?
It's
probably only amazing. We'll get you once in a blue moon. There's all kinds of stuff going on there, including you thought Shohei Ohtani was having a great year. You didn't know he was having this great of a year. Jay will explain next.
Like a radio cockroach, you just can't get rid of him, no matter how hard you try. Back to the Carmichael Dave Show.
Moving day, the British Open. Couple of stories to follow here. Want to remind you, as always, British Open coverage brought to you by Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choice. It's always about quality. Here's the stories I'm looking at. John Rahm was the, I wouldn't say, oh, there's never an overwhelming favorite usually in a golf tournament because it's so random, but John Rahm was, of everyone, had the best odds of winning. He is currently one off the cut list. He is at plus one. He is even through five. The projected cut right now is at plus one. So some notable names down there. I'm looking for Bryson DeChambeau is one over through seven, plus two for the tournament. So he's going to need to get at least a birdie in there and clean out the rest of the way in order to make it. At the top of the leaderboard, it's still Colin Morikawa, who finished early with a 64. That is still, I believe, tied for the best round of the day. One other, Emilio Grillo of, I believe that's Argentina. I'm going by flags. I think that's Argentina's flag. Is also 6-0 under for the tournament. He is just three shots off the pace. Jordan Spieth, 2-under. He is tied with Louis Oosthuizen, who is 1-under. That's for the day. Both at 7-under for the tournament. Just two back of Colin Morikawa. Let's check. I'm looking for one of your guys. I know you took Spieth, but I'm looking.
Where's Rory?
Rory is even. Rory's going to make the cut, but that's about all he's going to do. Rory, I mean, a lot of golf left, but Rory
went, lot of strokes to make up,
yeah,
man.
He went even and even. Dustin Johnson is plus one for the day, 1-under for the tournament, but he's just on the fourth hole there. But that was one of my guys.
Is there a sport? Maybe it's NASCAR.
By the way, Justin Rose, another one of my guys, 3-over for
the
day.
Yeah, not good.
Go ahead.
Is there a sport that's just like you shouldn't try to predict a winner quite like golf? Like you said, John Rahm, the favorite going in, has not had a good tournament so far.
No. By the way, Lee Westwood's going to miss. He's only on the fourth hole, but he's currently plus two.
Okay. Well, if he birdies all the rest of the holes, he'll be right back in it.
It's going to be great if one of our guys gets cut. They don't even make the cut. That's going to be a... That'll be fun.
Two of our guys get cut, which is...
Yeah, because I would say even like NASCAR, like there was that run where Kyle Larson won like five races in a row or something. Mm-hmm. Like you can get a general idea of what cars and teams and whatever is, I don't understand NASCAR, but that seems more predictable than golf. But you just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea. Mm-hmm. You think you know. And yeah, you get guys that are hot like Rahm or obviously
Well, that's just
Tiger
it, right? Rahm was hot. You know, Mickelson wins the PGA. That's the story of the U.S. Open. Can Phil finally crack the U.S. Open? Didn't even come close.
Nobody knew. Nobody knew that Mickelson was going to win.
Also, someone on the text line's boss called out with pink eye today.
Yeah, I saw that text. You're not reading the other half, and I appreciate that. Question.
There's another half. It's not on mine.
Question of the day: is Bugs Bunny washed? It's one of my favorite poll questions. Early votes, 64% say Bugs Bunny is washed.
He is.
Listen, and I'm a Bugs Bunny stan.
Hey, man, can I take it a step further?
Sure.
Can I get a little controversial here on a Friday?
I'd rather you didn't with Bugs Bunny, but go ahead.
The Looney Tunes are washed.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. And it sucks because I grew up on Looney Tunes, and Bugs is the king of all Looney Tunes. But, yeah, he's kind of washed. Isn't he?
Not kind of. Bugs is done, dude.
Well, let it be
Bugs
known.
Bugs is Joe Namath on the Rams.
Let it be known on
Bugs is Willie Mays on the Mets. Bugs is Hakeem with the Raptors.
Is Bugs Bunny in Space Jam the equivalent of Jerry Rice with the Broncos?
Yes.
Oh, my Lord.
Hey, Bugs is Patrick Ewing in an Orlando Magic uniform,
Shaq
dude.
Shaq
with the Cavs.
Do we have this question before, which is worse, Shaq with the Cavs or the Celtics?
We did, and I think it's the Cavs. Just because it's the Cavs.
But isn't it kind of the Celtics because the Lakers-Celtics historical rivalry?
That's true. The Lakers got the good Shaq and the Celtics just got Shaquille.
Once in a blue moon right now.
Once in a blue moon. Brought to you by Blue Moon Beer. Here's Jay Mars.
Dave, as you pointed out to me, everyone's saying the second half of the MLB season starts today. It's not the second half. It's like the last 40%.
Uh-huh.
Notable records and feats by Shohei Ohtani so far. You ready for this?
Oh, does he have? Is he good?
He's decent.
Okay.
Check this out.
Uh-huh.
He's the first player selected to an All-Star game as both a pitcher and a position player.
Okay.
He's the first player to make 10 starts as a pitcher, hit 10 home runs, and steal 10 bases.
Okay.
Most home runs in a season, again, season's not over yet, by a Japanese-born player, and touched 101 miles per hour as a pitcher, and has an exit velocity of 119 as a hitter.
Let's say that Shohei Ohtani plays the rest of this season healthy, and he just basically just continues these averages. Nothing more, nothing less, just continues what he's doing right now. So he'd end up with high 50s, low 60s in home runs.
Mm-hmm. Which is amazing, by the way.
Right, yeah, of course. How many more years would Shohei Ohtani have to do that to surpass Ichiro?
To replicate what he's doing this year?
I'm saying if you were to say, hey, who is the best Japanese-born player to ever play in the major leagues?
So if he replicated what he's doing this year for another three seasons, it's
three only. Seasons.
That's it.
Now, I'm just saying that's shocking, though I don't think I disagree with you because of how
exactly
good Ichiro was.
Ichiro is amazing.
I don't like the hypothetical stuff, but
when Ichiro was 67 playing for the Marlins, right? He was awesome.
I sometimes will stay away. Usually, will stay away from the hypotheticals because you know it's like, well, if this had happened and that, well, it didn't happen. But I'm very confident in saying, had Ichiro played his entire career in America, he'd be the all-time hit king.
Yes,
not Pete Rose.
Completely agree.
He would be the all-time hit king.
Well, Pete Rose is the home run king, so I don't know why you made that comparison.
Yeah, I know that. Thank you. Ichiro played, 18 seasons?
Feels like more than that, actually.
He played 20 seasons, okay. Actually.
And that's just is that combined with Japan, or is that just in just in MLB?
Ichiro, no, that's just...
that's what I thought.
American Major League Baseball. Well, not American Blue Jays, but it's just MLB. Ichiro started his career in 2001 for the Seattle Mariners, where he led the league in plate appearances, at-bats, hits, stolen bases, and batting average. He won the MVP his rookie year, along with rookie of the year, with the gold glove, along with the silver slugger.
Was that the same Mariners team that they set the record?
The 100-whatever record. Yep. And then,
then lost in the first round.
Dare I say Ichiro had easily the greatest rookie year ever in the history of the game.
Yeah, I'm trying. Is there any other rookie year of the year MVPs?
I can't think of any off the top of my head. There probably is, but I can't think of one. And to lead the league in that many crazy categories, batting average, stolen bases, and hits. He started in 2001. He retired in 2019. Now, he started in 2001, Jay, at 27.
Okay, so quick math here, guys. Started at 27 in 2001, played 20 seasons. Means he ended his career, 46, 47-ish?
Let me correct that. He played 19 seasons. He started at 27. He ended his final year for Seattle. He was 45.
Gosh.
45. So here's my thing. If he'd have started, about 22? It's about five.
Let's say five seasons prior to that.
Five.
Tack five more years on early on in baseball.
That's at least another 1,000 hits. And that would have put him at 4,089. What was Pete Rose? 4,192?
Something like that. It would have been close. By the way, Pete Rose played for 30 years, so there you go.
By the way, Doug Christie has texted me and said, careful what you're talking about. We're complimenting. We're talking about how amazing Ichiro is.
Should we do a Mariners minute for him?
No.
Okay.
No, but what we will do in honor of him, let's take a moment, even though I'm supposed to go somewhere else, let's take a moment and talk about this moment brought to you by, gosh, this moment brought to you by appreciation for Seattle Mariners World Championships. Doug's not here. I saw Doug yesterday.
So did I.
He doesn't age.
You do.
I think he gets stronger.
You don't.
So let me just say, Doug, go Waves, love Pepperdine. Just kidding. Don't hurt me.
No, man, Team Mariners. Griffey is my all-time favorite player. I love that Edgar Martinez has an award named after him.
Randy Johnson.
Dude, I literally shaved my head because I'm a Jay Buhner fan.
Lou Piniella, what a manager.
I kicked something the other day just in honor of Lou Piniella.
That's right.
And they had Joey Cora. I love Joey Cora as a kid.
Love Joey Cora.
Alex Rodriguez's life would be so much better had he stayed in Seattle and not went to New York and Texas.
The great Norm Charlton.
Dude, Norm Charlton's mullet in the 90s. Like, everybody else by 96, like, knew the mullet was not a thing. Norm Charlton didn't, and I was so here for it.
Billy Swift, pre-Giants.
Dude, how about the greatest, like, Mariner of all time until Griffey, Mark Langston?
Mark Langston? Oh, what a pitcher.
Huge Mark Langston stan.
I know
They had Harold Reynolds. The guy was on ESPN for years.
He what? Well, all
right. Now he's on MLB Network, and we don't need to get into all that.
We got a break. One last note here, Jay, for you. We talked about Space Jam earlier, Bugs Bunny being washed and all that. But did you know, regardless of how bad the reviews are, and they're bad, LeBron James co-owns the $750 million company that helped produce it, the Spring Hill Company. Why is it called the Spring Hill Company, you ask, which you didn't? It's named after the Akron apartment complex he grew up in, and when she said rent was about $17 a month. It's now worth $750 million. LeBron James is about to become just the fifth athlete in history to pass $1 billion in career earnings while still active. I know we got to get a break, but because I'd love to ask you how many of these you could knock out. There's four others. $1 billion career. Any guess? While active.
Let me think during the break, because we got to go.
All right, we'll give you the answers when we get back. Take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, we'll let you know the four other athletes that passed $1 billion in career earnings while still active. See if Doug Christie doesn't beat me up during the break. By the way, Doug Christie was like at $901 million. Right
there. Should have been. Missed it.
Doug Christie, criminally underpaid, I say.
Agreed.
I'm kissing his butt. More of that after this.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
Uh-huh. It's What's on Tap. Here's what you need to know, what you need to watch, what you need to follow today. It's What's on Tap. Brought to you by
Mariners Legends.
Come on, dude. We still have 10 minutes to go.
Tino Martinez.
Tino.
Luis Soho.
You just wanted to rail off.
David Segui. Paul Sorrento.
Hey, wait, hold on. Who is the bald guy? Like,
Buhner.
Jay Buhner. Thank you.
That's what I said in the last part.
Jay Buhner?
I patterned my look after Jay Buhner.
That is kind of true. You are very Buhner-esque.
Am I Buhner-y?
Jay Buhner.
Jay Mars, Jay Buhner, potato, potato.
It's a fine area up there, the Pacific Northwest.
It's actually beautiful. I love Seattle.
I have decided that is where I will end up.
Seattle?
No, the probably Oregon, but the Pacific Northwest.
Portland? Or are you going to a little town? Are you going to Medford?
I think I'm going. No, Medford's inland. It'll be on the coast.
Okay.
It's probably going to be where, honestly, it's where I went.
Salem on the coast? I don't know Oregon geography very well.
Yeah. Nah, I'm going to, like, the southwest to central coast, the greater Bandon area, if you will.
Are you going to stay close enough to Portland to travel to Kings Blazers games?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'll be Kings in quite a bit. Don't get me wrong there. But it's just, it is. Anyone's ever been to the PNW, as we say, up there.
The old PNWs.
Portland Dave doesn't work. It doesn't.
Oregon Dave.
Oregon Dave? Oh, hey, I played the new Oregon Trail at the Apple Arcade.
Okay.
It's not great.
Let's take 56 steps back.
Yeah, okay.
Is it an actual arcade or is that just the app?
No, the Apple Arcade.
I thought you went to an arcade and played Oregon Trail.
No. It's an Apple app from the Apple Arcade.
Dude.
And I was really excited about it. Not great.
Oregon Trail is one of those games that does not hold up very well. But guess what? When you're eight, it's everything.
It's amazing. Hey, if you... Listen, if you went to school anywhere near my generation,
cannibalism,
you played
awesome.
You played Oregon Trail back in the day.
Oh, same.
Want to pay that off there, Jay. I had asked you about play. We were talking about LeBron James. He's about to pass $1 billion in career earnings. That includes, of course, endorsements. He will become just the fifth active athlete, somebody who is active when they, in fact, the other four are actually all still active.
Messi?
Messi is one.
Ronaldo?
Ronaldo is two.
Those two are the ones I knew for a fact. The other two are going to...
I will tell you, the other two... I'll give you a great hint. The other two are absolutely not shocking. Like, okay. They're very... I'm not saying they're obvious, but when I say them, if you don't get it, you'll be like, oh my God, yeah.
Tiger?
Tiger is three.
Oh, come on, who's the fourth
you
one?
Should, I honestly thought the fourth would be your first guess.
Really?
Yes. I honestly thought the soccer ones would trip you up a little bit.
No, the soccer ones I knew.
I thought that the one guy remaining, and don't look at any of the texts.
I'm not.
The one guy remaining would be your first guess. As a matter of fact, we talked about him a little bit yesterday. In relation to money.
I'm drawing a blank.
I know, and I love it because this is a good one.
Yeah,
I have no sympathy for you.
Make me slap myself.
In relation to money.
Floyd Mayweather.
Mayweather, over $1 billion. Tiger Woods, Floyd Mayweather, Cristiano Ronaldo, and Lionel.
Okay, here's why I didn't get Floyd. You said active. I don't count his fight with DePaul active.
I mean, say DePaul.
The Paul. Whichever Paul it was, DePaul. The one he fought. I don't DePaul. Count that.
The Giants Cardinals today as baseball is back. Kevin Gausman, the ace on the mound. Against the 75-year-old Adam Wainwright, that game will start at 5:15. And then right here on the Sporty 1140, the A's march towards the World Series. They continue that. Chris Bassett, all-star on the mound against Eli Morgan.
Not all-star.
Not all-star at all with an 8.44 ERA. By the way, I say Eli, and I apologize if it's Ellie. Could be. It's ELI.
But Ellie Medford?
I'm assuming it's Eli Morgan.
Morgan.
First pitch, 6:40.
Ellie Mae Morgan.
Ellie Mae Morgan's a fine name.
I actually like that name for a country singer. Like, I could picture Ellie Mae Morgan having, like, three number ones on the country charts.
I feel like Ellie Mae Morgan may already be a country
singer. I don't think so.
Ask Pat and Tom.
Not real.
Do we have a crossover?
We does.
I'd love to hear it.
What's happening with Jason Ross and Doug Christie?
Hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Let's find out right now with the crossover. Here's today's crossover.
DC.
Yes, sir.
Yesterday on the show, we did a This Day Thursday and something that happened on this day, right?
Yeah, well, give it. Let's hear it. What happened on This Day Thursday?
In 1968, One Life to Live,
yeah.
Soap opera premiered TV.
Yes, not my thing.
What was your soap opera?
Young and the Restless.
You fully watched it?
Oh, well.
Good amount?
When grandma watches something. You watch it, too.
She's watching her stories.
I'm watching my stories. Be quiet.
Okay.
Victor is working over here. Come on.
I had a short period, very short period, where I watched Days of Our Lives.
So your Days of Our Lives.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, say it with your chest.
Dave and Jay.
Oh, I can't wait for this one.
What are your soap operas of choice?
Oh, man.
Say
this
it
is
going to
be good. Yeah, show your work, because I'm listening.
You're what?
He's listening.
I'm listening. Okay, listen, first off, let me get something out of the way. When you say soap operas, I know what they mean, but let me help you out a little bit. WWE is a soap opera.
No, it's
an athletic soap opera.
No, it is a children's soap opera. Now, it used to be a male soap opera. It's overall kids' soap opera.
I'm just telling you, it is a soap opera masquerading as a sport. And I'm not insulting them at all.
You
I'm
are.
Complimenting. No, no. It is scripted.
David.
There are storylines. There is drama.
You know what they're talking about, and you're trying to avoid saying your soap opera.
No, and I will. I said I know exactly what they're talking about, and I will give you a real answer. But I'm saying we throw on soap opera like Days of Our Lives, One Life to Live, and all that. There are a lot more soap operas. We just don't call them that anymore.
Let's stay, though, with the traditional soap
opera. Days of Our Lives was the one. And by the way, most people watch a soap opera, or a lot of us, because their parents, their mom did. My mom loved Days of Our Lives. I watched Days of Our Lives. So there was about a two-year period where, man, I was into it with Marlena and Roman Brady and Bo Brady. And it was the year that Orpheus, I think, was the – not Orpheus. Was it Orpheus?
Boy, you did watch this.
There was a bunch of Barabons happening and all that, and somebody got killed, and the whole – open. Yeah, I was into that. And for a brief spell, I was into the soap opera Santa Barbara. Around the same time, I think I was like 8 or 9 years old, I was watching it. You know, my mom would have it on.
Does Melrose Place count or no?
See, that's the thing. primetime soap operas. I don't think that's in the spirit of what they're talking about.
I don't
about.
Either. Okay.
They're talking about daytime soap operas.
So out of spirit would be Melrose. In spirit would be Young and the Restless, just because it came on right after The Price is Right when I stayed home. And listen, back in the day, daytime TV, not the best thing in the world.
No, no, you had...
So when you're seven and you shouldn't be watching that, it's just on after The Price is Right. Hey, the TV stays on and boom, there's Young and the Restless.
When you would, a lot of times, it was so great. When I would stay home sick, my mom would always let me have all the tea I wanted. That's so stupid.
What the hell?
No, and we had like a little teapot and I could put it on a TV tray and she'd
oh
let me hang out.
Oh my God.
And when we finally got our second... when we finally got our second TV...
The television.
And so I would
with
watch...
the remote.
I'll never forget. So like, you'd start out and it would be like Adam's Family and then Leave It to Beaver and then Pressure Luck, a couple of game shows, and then the soap operas would come on. And man, I was just so happy to not be in school. It was awesome. All right, crossover question for...
Life was downhill after that.
Life was very... Life never got better.
Nope. I always say life goes downhill after about four.
Never got better. Crossover question for you, Jason, and you, Doug, with the new Space Jam movie coming out. I don't know if you've seen any of the promos. I haven't seen it promoted at all, but apparently LeBron James and Space Jam is a thing. We have a question for you. Is Bugs Bunny washed? And really, by proxy, are the Looney Tunes washed? I grew up on him. Bugs is my guy. But let's just be honest. In the year of our Lord, 2021, is Bugs Bunny washed? Show your work, gentlemen, and have a great weekend. All right, for Jay, me, all of you, love you lots. See you Monday. Jim Rome is next. Go, Kings. Bye-bye now.